We have the agenda. The agenda of today. The agenda of today. Today is going to go to the agenda. Thank you for the rest of you. Both members.
The agenda for Wednesday, 21st October, is as follows. Opening and welcome, apologies. As of now, I've got only one or two apologies. Mr. Mandashe and Mr. Soa will be just waiting to be 20 minutes later. And then we have to show. And then we have the adoption of the agenda, followed by greeting by the research unit on the comment on national minimum wage. Members will then decide on that further comment to the mission. And then we will consider the minutes of our last meeting, 14 October, and then look at the way forward for programming of the unemployment insurance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Members, are you head to the agenda? Not a proposal. Or proposed. Don't you want?
Chair, I wanted to just add one item there we are unpack when we are giving it. If we can raise the issue up, then I'll unpack when we are giving that item. I propose that after we have considered the minutes, we change this item.
Okay. I'm sure we can give you the social final count. We can give you the final count. Is that an order, my bad? Thank you so much. Is that okay? What is the time? Proposals for the question of the agenda, Mr. Bartha, in example. And Honorable Montera, and now it's a briefing by the center. Set up a briefing by the center. On national human rights.
Today we are coming to a group that is equipped from the committee to present a follow-up on the national minimum wage for the specific program in the agricultural sector, given the challenges and all the research that has been done in the center. It's Shan, the senior researcher, who is in documentation.
The focus will be on agriculture. Since the previous presentation between, I think it was 2nd September to October, there's been more research that has come up. South Africa has also come out with further labor force studies, and we thought or suggested that we bring this information to the attention of the members. In terms of agricultural sector in South Africa, it's a fairly important sector, even though in terms of the contribution to GDP, it has declined overall. We'll be looking at the agricultural economy. The presentation for the presentation of that, agricultural economy, employment statistics in the agricultural sector, living and working conditions of African farms and agricultural. In terms of the agriculture policy, you're looking at a sector that sensitivity is a decline in terms of contribution to GDP, but the services sector is taking a more important role. However, it is still regarded as a very important sector in terms of its contribution to food security, in terms of food security, export, and contribution to the exchange rate, and also jobs.
But we just need to find out which version of this document is being used, because I've got two, and neither of them show that page. So those are the ones that I've got on that one. The one says,
that the agriculture sector contributes about 3% to productive GDP and about 7% to employment. But it's important to look at both the policy linkages and factor linkages in terms of how the agriculture sector contributes to the manufacturing sector in terms of raw materials, how the manufacturing sector contributes to agriculture in terms of things like pesticides and those types of things. So there's no forward and factor linkages, we take that sector then far more important. In fact, it's a recent data from commercial farms have indicated that the income earned by commercial farmers have actually increased over the years since 2012 research. From 182.9 billion in 2013 and estimated to be 213 billion in 2014 by the end of 2014. So that's like 13.2%. In terms of overall jobs in South Africa, I think the quarterly labor force survey shows the challenge that we have in South Africa. I think people are talking about that, especially with regard to youth and youth unemployment. However, the quarterly labor force survey from 2014 has shown that especially in the second quarter or the fourth quarter of 2014, to the second quarter of 2015, there's been some improvement in jobs. Right over, there's been improvement in jobs. And going to centers, the 2011 centers, when we look at households in the rural areas, it's estimated that there are approximately 2.7 million households in rural areas. So it's clearly big. The centers overestimated that income of farm dwellers, there's about 65% of farm dwellers who are earning 1,600 rand. This was in Beijing. This was before the increases that will be. I'm just going to sketch a picture so that you get a sense of what's happening in the rural area. Now, what we found is that when a minimum wage is set in a certain sector, employers and employees respond in different ways. And some of the researchers highlight some of the differences in response. So you have perhaps a reduction in hours worked, you got perhaps a reduction in one-way benefits, sometimes employers cut on the extra cost training, sometimes in employment competition they might employ less unskilled workers and more skilled, less skilled workers. Higher prices for consumers, the cost of cost over. Or you might find that there's improvement in management efficiency. Or you find efficiency in the cost of cost. What we found in the initial period in the agriculture sector is, and that leads us to employment stats
the agricultural sector. That you find that youth unemployment is particularly high. It's estimated at the end of this year. And that if unemployment in South Africa is peak in 2018. However, what we've seen is that in 2014 and up until the second quarter of 2014, you find that there's been some improvement. There's been some improvement in job creation. What we found particularly interesting was the second quarter of 2014 in the agricultural sector, and this was from the Popular Labour Force survey, is that in between April-June of last year, 2014, to April-June this year, we found that there were actually increases in the agricultural sector job, right? Increased by 29.8%. Now, in the four quarters, there were two quarters that actually had a reduction in job, but overall, the other two quarters actually went up. They were, overall, for year-on-year, there was a 29.8% increase in jobs in the agricultural sector. Between 2014 to 2014. Which we found very interesting, and we were looking for research on that. Because some of the, when the minimum wage was set in 2013 in the sector, we saw an immediate difference in terms of jobs in the sector. And people like Cambridge or Rathangu, they wrote about that, and they wrote about how the minimum wage impacts on certain sectors, in particular for the safety, the security guard, and also the agricultural sector. So we were very interested to see this statistic in terms of what happened. And organizations like CLAS, they come up with reasons for some of these recent job losses in the agricultural sector. And they argue pretty big. They argue pleasing. They said that perhaps that there was excess employment on farms prior to the introduction of that minimum wage. And what happened was that there was loss in those farms of that excess labor. Or they could have been farmers felt that they wanted to shift from labor to more capital intensive farming. So that could have also happened. Or some farmers had a problem with the extension of the guarantee of Kenya Act of 97 and you see a reduction in stock.
I'm looking at the census of animals and I can do that and identify myself. Are you talking to both documents? In your presentation, are you talking to both documents?
I'm doing this as a guide to show what sections are on. Perhaps the people see
For example, the province is that the Portuguese import survey showed data for example, KKK increased labor in agriculture by 75%. So Cindy and myself were having a chat on that, and we see in my own recycle because farms are also currently experiencing some pressures in terms of rain and things like that. So that figure might change over the next quarter. But, so what is the agriculture in the survey showing is that the agricultural sector is also showing increases in growth. So you see income actually being increased in the sector, which could be also possibly a reason for some of the growth in the economy. But not then does is that it, and I'm on the bottom of page here, I'm looking at bullet points that help then give some reason for the possible stabilization. Because again, in 2013, when the minimum wage came out, there was another opportunity that came out in terms of how this is going to impact on jobs. And Cloud then says, look, there's possibly a period of stabilization. That period has possibly gone past. What you can argue is that there could be different reasons for this. That labor substitution mechanization has been largely achieved. That those farms that wanted to substitute labor machines has gone through that process. So we've already done that. Or they think that your more marginal farms or farms that are in trouble, that they've either retrenched workers already or they've gone bankrupt themselves. They've taken over by the farm. And they also say that look, even though you can have mechanization farms, you still need people to run. So there's still labor that's required. All farms have been able to adjust production systems to make new wages affordable. So therefore people adapt to these changes. It takes time, but it also raises something about the flexibility then of the sector to absorb. And it seems that it took at least 2 to 3 years. Possibly, or we might see a different switch. But for now, employment is increasing. And that employers have been able to respond. You also had people like Jan Saron who said that you must look at the multifaceted approach to looking at the agriculture sector. We can't just look at one factor. And we've got to change it over a long period of time in terms of what's happening in the agriculture sector. So it's a dynamic sector. What we found with the statistics is we should be careful because the 2013 research that come out has shown that how the minimum wage has impacted on jobs, but the labor survey showed something different. A different study that we also picked up was a study commission on a non-page here, a bullet on point 3, living and working conditions. This is not the a fully representative survey, was interviews done on 48 farms, and I think they interviewed about 250 researchers, or 250 farm dwellers and farm workers, if I'm correct. Right? But what they looked at in this survey, it was commissioned by IMO in 2014, I think between our previous presentation and now, before we were just doing presentation. They looked at conditions and living and working conditions of farms. Things like workspaces, so how many people on those farms with permanent contracts. They only found that 51% of that sample were in permanent. Then how many people who were permanent actually had contracts? And they found that those who were permanent, about 92% had contracts. Then the number of working hours, and they found that there was a gender difference also in terms of working hours. Paid vacation leave, only 46.4% entitled to paid vacation leave. Then paid sick leave, only 35% of the sample. Then maternity and paternity leave, contribution to pension, retirement fund, medical aid, UIF deduction, and voting benefits. I think overall, the underlying comment that we're making is that taking into account the research and the data, the sector, the dynamic sector, the recent data from Central South Africa show that it's a possible thing that changing the agricultural sector, we need to
Thank you so much for your questions. Remember that if you need the combination of most partners from the system showing the combination of what is happening to you. And I think today's one is just sexual violence in general, and saying in the minimum wage, if you say it's a hobby, all related to sex. I think that was one from today that I remember. Just today, some info of the research. And then remember, thank you so much for what is very much to you. Remember, that you and I have no text at the end or anyone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I may just glance by looking at this survey. This research doesn't tell us when it said there are extra people employed. What it doesn't tell us is what type of employment. And I've unpacked that by saying, first of all, more people with skill have been employed on the farm because they haven't mechanized, because they want to cut down on stock. Which, of course, is detrimental to South Africa, because the unskilled are finding it more difficult to find more. And I think the reason why they're looking for more skill is if they have to mechanize is too expensive to employ. That's the first thing. Secondly, many of the farmers, and I had read the research somewhere on this, my farm structure, have said that they're employing more and more people, but in, not in temporary jobs, but in much lower factors of hours. In other words, you take someone permanently during harvest time, so you have them for 3 months, or that still counts as a job. Although in the past, before the wage increase, they had them for 12 months a year, and now only need them for 3 months, because why should a farmer create employment when his wages are so high? The other thing that we're hearing is that people are saying, well, we don't need people for 8 hours a day, we need them for 2 hours a day. If you want that sort of job, then they have come and take it, and that's what counts as a job. And I'm not so sure we can compare apples and pears when it comes to that, because a job, in our understanding, is literally, I think, a 45-hour week, and you're not finding that on farms. And I do want to point to the minimum wage impact. I think on page 4, that this is absolutely correct. These bullet points, just below halfway on page 4, tell us the true impact of the minimum wage on the sector. And we saw the method drops. What it's also done, and the way you alluded to it, it's created a problem where many of the unorganized farms, not trade union, and they're not big commercial farms, are in fact increasing the flouting of the laws. And so you see these things coming out where people don't have letters of appointment, they don't access leave, they don't access sick leave, they don't have maternity leave. And unfortunately, this we've seen an increase in that. Because if a farmer believes that he or she can't afford the wages and still needs to work, we'll then kind of be directly illegally to the workers. Now, I'm not sure how that increases. And I suspect quite strongly that we've seen that.
Can you repeat the point?
In other words, there are people employed not adhering to the law. And there's always an increase in the non-adherence of the law when the jobs become unaffordable. And that's all the research always shows about that. So if you make a job unaffordable, but you still have a person to do the work, you then try and have a separate agreement with the individual, because we have, as Sartre has said, we have almost 50% unemployment in the sector. You've got almost 50% unemployment, and it's very easy to break people and say, so, can I employ you illegally? And most people would go in desperation and agree to that. And I think that's one of the issues that we haven't sort of searched. I believe that the industry is a very important one for us to research more and
bit more than I'm not in any way to listen to the search that was done by Substance Use and Treatment Docking. I think we need to delve more into it because I have a very strong feeling that the numbers are bolstered by people who are working in India, by people working on lecture hours, and by people who don't have access to the benefits of that in the later conditions of the place. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. On Monday morning, when I came to the office, I had been an electrophilist for 10 years. I kept that word on Monday morning. So, you know, I've been through this a number of times. The chairperson knows many of the times I've had to do this. And I noticed the trend. So before I talk about the documents, I want to talk about how we got to this document. We got a document summarizing all of the inputs last year. And the AAP on this committee very definitely did not want to accept the document because the recommendations did not suit a certain agenda. The document we present now is a whole new tone and a whole new agenda. Suddenly we found new facts that suit the AAP's agenda. So it's clear to me of being in politics for 10 years that you've been pressurized to change the tone of this. It's clear to me. This document now suddenly says that it's not just wonderful. There are facts on the table that we know already. First fact is that if they confirm in writing, in their report, that 76 or 78,000 jobs were lost in the month when the minimum wage was introduced. Increased. CLAS is the only organization that presented to us that had to argue that that wasn't the case. They're the only one. You're now suddenly shifting the tone of your inputs to favor that kind of CLAS study. Even CLAS accepted that 26,000 jobs were lost. They tried to minimize the number with all sorts of clear arguments. It's the only research in the country. So you're asking this committee to now favor research that is one group all on their own. I find that problematic. Secondly, much of what you told us in this new report this morning shows a long trend. We all agree on the long trend. The long trend is that the general pattern has been jobs lost in agriculture across the entire world. That's not got to do with legislation. That's got to do with the changing economy. Agricultural economy is dying, has been replaced, and farms are getting larger and mechanizing so people lose jobs. That's the general trend, okay? And if it's stabilizing, because some people have to work machinery on even a mechanized farm. So of course it will eventually stabilize. That doesn't say a single thing about the impact of the legislation. You are trying to get us to focus on the long-term international trend to make a difference that the impact of labor legislation was negligible. I think we're suddenly misrepresenting the facts. That impact you love to vote in your quarterly survey showed what happened at the time the legislation was introduced. Not even classes disputing that. Everyone agreed that jobs were lost in the agricultural sector. And I don't appreciate the attempt now to minimize that, nothing really happened, there were other factors. There were no other factors. The economy collapsed in 2008, not when the minimum wage was changed, with the radical change that we saw after the Western Cape floods, or the implementation of the original minimum wage. Neither of those two things happened in 2008. The economy collapsed. Because the economy collapsed, it had an impact on agriculture, but also on every other sector. It's irrelevant to the labor legislation. So I really do not think that should take the place in this report that does. You may bring on general trends which have nothing to do with legislation. What we need is to understand the impact of minimum wages, the implementation of the minimum wages, and the radical changes of minimum wages on the agricultural sector. There is nowhere in the world that the imposition of increased minimum wages leads to increased jobs. Never happened. The only study that tried to show that was the hamburger study of the hamburger joint in New Jersey. It's been shown by Harvard University based on false numbers. And the people who wrote that original study have admitted on the record and written a revised study showing that in fact no jobs were created. that in fact they agree with Harvard that their study is just flawed. So there's no study at the moment in the world that proves that imposition of the minimum wage or a radical increase of the minimum wage leads to more jobs. Nobody in the world. So those are the key facts on the table. They're not disputable, they're facts. Spend the case with those facts on the table. Every study on the minimum wage in the world shows that in the agricultural sector, the imposition of the minimum wage leads to job losses. It's not a dispute, it's not something you can just commit to get clearer and debate and tell you come up with an alternative view of the world. It's a fact. And I really am not happy with this idea that comes out of your newsletter that suggests, oh, there are all these other factors, you know, there's mechanization, that's all common cause. Everyone in the world agrees that all those factors are going on all of the time. And agricultural wages will up to numbers of employed people will go up and down following the global economy. When people need more food, you need more plants, you need more products, you need more workers, you need more equipment. It's normal. That happens in every industry. It's not unique to agriculture. What is important for this investigation of minimum wages is to have a factual understanding of what happens when you implement minimum wages in the agricultural sector, which is what we're saying, and it might not be confused with general trends in agriculture, which are general trends in the world. When the economy of the world collapsed in 2008, jobs were lost everywhere in the world. When the world economy recovered, you're going to see more people being employed in agriculture. Why? Does it want anything to do with minimum wage? No. It's got to do with the fact that people need more food, people have got more money to buy the food, more food needs to be produced, therefore they plant more, therefore they need more workers. Minimum wage is irrelevant. The only way you can analyze the impact of minimum wage is to look at the periods where the minimum wage is amended or when it is increased. And you check the jobs before and you check the jobs after. And Saturday, given those figures, and even Clark agrees that that is the pattern, although they can reduce the figures from Saturday 70 whatever thousand to Clark's 26,000. They still agree with the trend. So they agree with the fact that the imposition of the minimum wage led to job loss. Even Clark, who are the most radical in favor of minimum wages. So the tone of this report is attempt to push this committee in a certain direction, and I don't agree with it. I'm sorry. It's trying to now minimize the idea that there's an impact on the number of people employed when the minimum wage is implemented or radically increased. And that's just not actually true. It's that they will take that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Dr. According to the research report, it says there were losses, of course, even before 2003. So, the question is, what was the cause of those job losses before then? Because we are told out there that the minimum wage will cause job losses. And from this report, we must accept that our farm workers are working at sleep. Here are my reasons why. They are at 105 per day. But they are still regarded as the highest paid according to their bosses. And they are more costly. And I wonder who can live with this? Who can live with this amount of money? Because we are saying it is too little. At slavery level. At slavery level. So, another thing we are told here, only 20.6% of them are contributing to retirement of the nation. What are you saying? Only 20% of the whole workforce in the past are have indiscrepancies of the gender. What are the gender? What happens to that certain one get older? What happens if happening to them? Only 1.5% contributes to medical aid of health issues or else. What happens when those two are sick? That must tell you there's a problem there, not just a problem, there's a deep, large threatening crisis. Of course, we can say better for UIF, but it's not enough. But, Jefferson, I want to tell you something. Even out of this from everywhere, the cabinet will tell you the increment of salary will cost you jobs because we will leave you there for a long time. I'm telling you, every change has got its own pain. You have to get the pain in order to gain. There will always be this resistance kind of attitude from the employer. And this resistance sometimes comes with a very, very extreme pain. Because they will expense people, identify people, they will change, they do all these things in order to make sure that you, the local lawmakers, are changing things for their benefit. But the more resilient you are, they will think of, because all of the men they need business. They will still employ people. It happens there in the factories, it happens everywhere. Something to change when they do all these things, but when that goes, they see you not giving up, they still rehire people, then we carry on with life. We cannot be certain that this revolution cannot happen because somebody who is well resourced is threatening to shut down the country. We can't do that. This transition must happen, and then this revolution must happen. And our people must be ready to take a pain for sustainable relations. Thank you.
And our responsibility as a community is then to convert the vital preservation of our first half of our own soul. But the fundamental issue I want to raise is the understanding of our mandate is to come up with modalities of implementing the national minimum wage as per the payment of health and employment. This thing of us fighting on whether the minimum wage requires a thing or not, I don't think it's going to take us to the destination we are directed to go. Let us rather say, because nobody is saying there are no cause and continuous path as any aspect is concerned, rather than saying we cannot look at this document, to me, the document is a part of a refresh. And when you research, you follow a particular trend, and every person taking or undertaking a research has got a right to follow a particular trend. It cannot be that the wishes of another person wants to conduct research. If that person or that person is not taken, we cannot say this is not a research. Yes, it is research. But I want to bring the community back to say, our mandate is to come up with modalities. How far are we in doing that? Because
when we finalize it, we must come with the capacity of implementing the national minimum wage, not agreeing whether to give in the national minimum wage. I think we have gone past that particular stage. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if I heard from the end correctly. Is she saying that we've already made a decision we have a national minimum wage or not? And is that the mandate of the minister? My understanding is the minister didn't mandate that. The minister mandated us to investigate, first of all, whether there should be a national minimum wage, and second of all, if there should be, what is the modality? Now what the Honourable Member is trying to do is to cut out the first step. And she's saying we've already made that decision. Who has made that decision? Who has come up with it? When was it made? And I can know those answers. Because, and maybe the minister was on the ground. Because I understood that the minister was looking for an investigation into the national minimum wage and the second step. So thank you for that. I'm not sure I hear the Honourable Member say. Thank you.
I did not mention anything that has to do with the minister. I said the base president, in his state of the nation at all, said we must come up with modalities on how to implement the minimum wage. But the minister is out of the country. The mandate is an effort from the state of the nation. Thank
you. Why out of the national minimum wage? The state of the nation address of 2014, you can go and look up it. You will see where the president is mandating the deputy president of the country to look at the modality of how to implement the national minimum wage progress. And this is currently what the deputy president is doing, social partnership measures. But as the committee, all of us, we took a decision that day. We're not going to fold our hands and we take it one quick process of national minimum wage is taking place in Metro. But everything that takes place in Metro is going to come back to us. But also Metro is not just an entity. It's not an entity of the public enterprise. It's an entity of the public. And anything that takes place there, it should be our energy. Further, if you are talking about national minimum wage, it is an issue that is going to affect workers. And affecting workers currently is something that has to do with workers. And this is what the Labour Committee is doing. So if we can't then say tomorrow, when the figures come out and say, on the basis of this, and then we start saying, but why? Where do you come from? Where we are, we have made our own, or we are making our own investigation and check our own modality, so that when the process gets to its final stages, we are not told or instructed to not be in a position to say yes or no, or yes because of ABC, or no because of ABC. Because we have allowed the concept as this committee to just start and end in the nation. And that's why we are where we are today. Another girl.
Thanks, Chairperson. The committee has taken a decision to investigate the minimum wage. We're concerned at the DA about the amount of money we're spending, but we have said investigation, there's nothing wrong with investigation. Investigation is good. We inform ourselves, having presentations, we respect that people have done a lot of work and presenting lots of work to us over a whole year, I think, if I'm correct. But there is a difference between Parliament and legislative. The President doesn't instruct us, nor does a particular political party. Without a committee of Parliament that investigates. So far, this committee hasn't taken any decisions about the national minimum wage at all. We haven't decided there must be one. We haven't decided what the modalities are. We are completely with that investigation. So I think the point that I'm hearing from my colleagues next to me is that we haven't taken any decision. And we don't like hearing that decisions are that must be this or that. The decision we took is to be street investigated. We are doing an investigation. I'm quite happy to carry on doing the investigation. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that the three but just have not worked hard. They've worked incredibly hard, long hours, probably written many documents for us on the minimum wage. We're not disputing that we should spend it. But we are just saying there's a constitutional difference between the president and the executive and members of parliament. We are supposed to be independent of the president and the executive. We are not supposed to do whatever they tell us. We're supposed to check whether what they are wanting is correct for the country. That's our role. Our role is that the president wants to do 1, 2, 3. Now we must check whether that is a good thing. And that's what we're doing. We're investigating and checking. But most decisions that we're taking in the committee other than to investigate. So we are paying one investigation.
I don't think that we disagree with you when we are investigating the country. But where we differ with you is that I did not say we have been attacked. We are fully aware of our constitutional mandate as members of parliament. We don't find ourselves under the scope, like yourself. You've been selected for us by those who have selected us. Now, what you are saying, this government has mandate, not ours. The mandate is to be executed. Our mandate is to go and oversight over the executive. And anything that has been mandated by the president to the executive, we cannot wait to at the last minute and say and agree on what we have not tested. Don't say agree, because here it's modality. How it should be implemented. Remember, Honorable Honest, some of who were from different communities, were from different social backgrounds, were from different political and ideological backgrounds. And when it comes to the issue of national minimum wage, there is no one who comes from the council. There is no one who is from the labor movement, who is coming from the township, who would say, I don't want the national minimum wage. There is no farm worker who will say, I do not want a national minimum wage. And as we were going around this country with you, not a single person who said, we don't want a national minimum wage. I'm talking now about the workers. I'm not talking about academics. I'm not talking about any business elite people. I'm talking about the people who will be benefited when the national minimum wage is implemented. And those people are not any other people except those who have nominated us. I mean, the parties then that are nominated by parties, not the parties that are decided, but those who have elected us to be in parliament. All of them, every branch. If Honorable Modesta is saying that, it means the constituency, his constituency is mandating him. If all of us were saying that, our constituency have never rejected. If our constituencies have rejected to the call that there should be a national minimum wage, we will be talking as we are talking. But it's clear because we are mandated by different constituencies. We have no problem if there are constituencies who are opposed to the implementation of the national minimum wage. But what you are doing is exactly what the Deputy President is doing. Because you don't just want to receive modalities. And when we as the committee did not look at those modalities, we have done that independently. And we can engage with the network or with the Deputy President when this thing is put on the table from our own research and our own experience. It doesn't mean that because people, this is a free country, we have all fought for this freedom of speech, freedom of political association, freedom of anything. So if someone is opposed to other views, that's fine. But let's not distort what is there. Let's just oppose. That's all we are saying. We're not distracted, but we have a duty not to wait and fold our hands and accept or just oppose for the sake of opposing or oppose in general and say it has never worked. No, that's why when you say it has never worked, you must tell us. If you say it has never worked here in the Western Cape, you must give us every detail, every minutest detail. Because if the research is saying the market has its pattern is always like that, whether it's a global issue, whether it happens to South Africa, but all we need is that. Because the opponents of the implementation of national minimum wage, they just throw these things. All we need is that. Because if you can come with that and not being irritated and with these things, we can debate because that's what we want. We should be assisting each other. But my worry is that because this thing is just no. You are not telling us. I hear what the research is saying. But the research that I have made myself, this is what happened in South Africa. For the past 10 years in South Africa, before this before the federal declaration, this has been the situation. And you must respect, and you must be specific. If you talk to about the farm workers, then talk about the farm workers. Give us specific. That are completely different. So we must talk to each other. It doesn't mean to say, no, we know that's the position. We want to engage you for this. We want to engage each other. So that when we come at the end of all these things, we agree to disagree. We always agree to disagree. But let's again give us the information that we have. It might be that the information that we have is not enough in the process of looking for the capitalism. Don't just go everything, give us facts so that we are empowered as well. When you talk about agricultural workers, tell us, immediately when this legislation, as we're saying, it was implemented, this is what happened. Then you must tell us in Limpopo. In Limpopo, the situation has been like, for the past 5 years, it has been like in those agricultural workers. And you can be specific if you so want, because they are fighting for your point. And then immediately after that, the situation in those farms has gone to work, and then you'll be searching statistics and focusing, not in general, focusing. Then you understand. We can't wait the researchers are focusing and then say something else. We need to focus. We want you to have this. We want the information that we have that says it can never work. Easy to us. It's not accepting when you just go and say, we want to engage with you on our market. That's all we have. If you have a research that we have that is going to tell us about the situation of some workers in South Africa or any vulnerable workers in South Africa as to what has happened, give us that so that you sit here and discuss it and not be in general. Because you are general, you are not convincing anyone. And if you we ask the researchers, they must be specific. So please do that. We really do want. We want to hear your own research. That's best what you're saying. And then we can maybe we'll listen to you. We don't know. Don't suspect us that this is a lie that you want to take. Of course, the president appointed, but the modality.
Thank you. I'm hearing you, but you're shutting down half the debate. You're shutting down the debate as to whether, in fact, there should be a general election. But I understand that, and I can't argue much further. I think that's half the debate. You can understand the debate you're shutting down. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you have research. You've had research in this committee to show that the agricultural workers dropped an enormous amount. I can't bring up all the research that was given to me by the researchers, and that's not me. I'm making generalizations of the research that was given by your committee to me to read and understand, which I did read, I did understand, and I saw straight after the interview in the way, there was a massive destruction of jobs. Now, if you can understand it, I feel sorry for you. What I'm saying is, I understood that fully, and I'm happy to go back to it and read it again and present it to you again. But that's the second. The third thing is, I don't believe that that's what the president said, and I'll go back and have a look at that. I don't believe he's called it modalities, and I don't believe the president said let's investigate modalities only. I believe that the president has said that let's investigate a national plan, which means that you should have one or you shouldn't have one. I think, again, let's go back to my first point. The fourth thing I do want to say is that we hear it even today, from the researchers and from TFF, that the workers are treated like slaves after a 50% increase in the year. And that's my very point. That's the mandate. That workers on farms are treated worse because of the wage. In other words, people are not getting the free food, not getting the free accommodation, and not getting et cetera, that they were getting before. And in fact, I believe that with the increase, workers are worse off. And I think I'm hearing the same from my colleagues. So I can argue with you from customer. All I'm saying to you is don't put words in my mouth that I'm giving you generalizations. What I'm giving you is that I've read from the screen. Thank you.
Another
full
comment?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm unhappy with the report. The points I make are facts. That's specific facts. They're not generalizations. The fact that they touched the report showing 78,000 jobs were lost and the minimum wage was made a we got report for research from CLAS, from UCP, Fanwick, and ORA, and all of the others. You have them here. Now, I'm not going to read on the record very detail. That research, in every case, in every single case, including law, says that when the minimum wage in agricultural sector was implemented, there were job losses in the thousands. And when it was increased radically by the minister after the farm strikes, 76,000 were lost. CLAS argues that there were only 26,000, but even they agreed that there were job losses. Not cyclical, it's not got to do with it. Economic collapse, that happened in a different year. It's not got to do with the international trend. It's South African only, and it happened exactly in the month when the minimum wage in agriculture was implemented, and it happened exactly in the month when the radical increase of the minimum wage in agriculture was implemented last this struck. So those are not generalizations, those are specific to South Africa, specific to the agricultural sector, and SASSA figures show exactly that. All the research we've seen in this committee by university have shown that they agree with what SASSA has said on the subject, and the facts are that there are two times when we had a massive reduction in agricultural jobs in the month when the legislation on minimum wage was put into the agricultural sector and increased. So that's very specific to a person. And those are facts. Not my opinion. opinion or my party's opinion does affect. We can argue about why it occurred, and we can argue about what happened in other months. Because yes, some months we cut, some months are down in other areas. When the economy contracts, jobs are lost in agriculture. When the economy expands, jobs are increased in agricultural sector. Everyone agrees with that. I don't think there's anyone in this room who will disagree with that. Those are specific facts, but they are not highlighted in this report. The report focuses on the fact that there are all these other factors, and that's not my concern, Jefferson. I'm not saying that the research has not done a lot of hard work. What I'm saying is the emphasis has suddenly shifted now to, oh, agriculture is not that badly off. Well, that's not the question we're answering. We're answering the question whether minimum wages affect the agricultural sector and how it affects the agricultural sector. That's the question. So it's not relevant what happened in the last quarter in agriculture, unless it can show a link to the minimum wage. And I don't think there's any link to the minimum wage and the recent increase in the number of jobs in the agricultural sector. There's no research that shows that there's any link. It's just normal business effects of the need for more food, the growth in the international community. There's more people alive today, so they need more food. We need more people in agriculture. So those are the facts that I'm looking for, and I'm not finding them in this report. They were highlighted in the previous report, but this report almost seems to try and shift the agenda. And then think of me, Jefferson. That's it. Why not be clear that we never made any decisions yet? And then my final comment is, statement made earlier that no worker told us that it was a minimum wage. It's a distortion. Because when we went to every one of those hearings, workers were told what modalities of minimum wage do you want and how much in rand it should be set at. Workers were never asked whether they wanted a national minimum wage. It was assumed. And when I tried in Kimberley to make this point, you refused to let me speak. And I walked out of that Kimberley meeting and refused to participate because you would not let me speak. Because what you did in that meeting was to say to the worker, what notes do you want? The president decided we have to have it. And I said that's actually not all of the facts. There are different ways of doing minimum wage. And one of the ways is to not have a minimum wage. And you would not let me say that to the workers. So it is not the complete truth to say that no workers said that. Every meeting after meeting after meeting in the public hearing, the mandate in the meeting was given to the workers. We want you to tell us the modality and how much money it should be. You did not allow some of us in the opposition to make the point that you don't have to have a minimum wage because you didn't like that point. So that is not the workers not saying they don't want this. That is us not really giving them the option to see problems.
I think this is from the main issue here, because there is no way that we ever understand each other on our own. Even these things that you're saying, fortunately, wherever we're going, every recording, we know that we told the workers what is happening. But what you want to put it in that way, but that's your identity. You sit here and you go out and you come with statements that nobody knows ever about it. But then maybe that is done. So I don't think we're going to focus on that. Believe in what you are believing in, but it's very strange that you want the research to be selected. That much, the final report. This is the continuation. We are not going to waste our time and repeat what has been said. And what has been said does not mean that it has been retracted from the report. But the way your attitude is towards anything that says national minimum wage, you are not prepared to understand what is that we are doing today. Because anything that says national probably is doing, so the result, you lose track of what you are doing. Today, what we are doing on the report is, we are continuing, it's a continuation, and the continuation can be your own way. The research can be what you want to hear on it. The research will also be what you don't want to hear. Not all of us want to hear what has been researched, but the I'm shooting people because they're not repeating that what they have said. And what that has been said is on record. We are continuing. And that's what we're doing. Another question.
I think we've come a long as I said, far away. We appointed people that we went to do the public debate all that, and we cannot today now discuss whether minimum wage is right or so. What you are discussing is how best can we implement minimum wage so that whoever is busy with it at level, when it comes to us, we must find us having the best model on how best can we implement minimum wage. That's the issue of minimum wage. That's what it is. I mean, some of us have been ready long time ago. But since this is Parliament, you don't have to bring your own thing aside in the measure. We have been ready. We have did our own set. We have our own conclusions about these things. But we have to wait for the process to unfold so that at the end of the day we can reach consensus and say, this is what we can offer to the employees. Is that what we have had here today? Is that 10.6% only 10.6% of the funding cost is going to be that tells you there's still too much. So the thing that the employees are putting giving too much and all that is just distortion and we can't take it. Not at all. I mean, we cannot allow identity here. We can't. We can't. This thing is reaching an end and it must reach an end as soon as possible. Our people are suffering down there, are advanced and all that. We can't wait further and further because we can't reach it. Some other people. It cannot happen. The revolution must roll on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, I think we are engaged on an unnecessary war path because there was a report which has come from the Nation of University. That's a report who have not casually working to this research. This one is not capturing what has been done to us. And it's also fine. And also, Chair, I still maintain it would be better than if we create an opportunity for Honorable Bathroom, for instance, to go back and see what the Sona is actually saying. Because we are really looking at modernity here. Not investigating whether minimum wage is on or off. All along we've been talking about modernity. So I think for the sake of progress, I want to appeal to all of us, let us progress, because I agree with Honorable Bakken, we'll discuss this until the cow comes. So rather than us delaying this meeting, let's continue because we have all expressed our views and we have an understanding of some people that we are dealing with modernity. Then anyone who has a different view should give us an extra position saying let's investigate whether minimum wage is there or not there. Thank you.
I think we have come to the end of this discussion today, and we really thank you, the research unit, for doing its best to
working process, because we are not yet complete financing. And the more dilemmas speak, I'm sure, the more you take notes, and so that when you come back, you address certain issues, issues that you can address forever, but at least what you want, not a general, view. When the universities were here, I remember the first group that was there was from the university. When they came with these speakers, eventually they could not, they themselves approved that they are not speakers, they are not accurate. Because there were certain questions that we asked, how they got to those, figures. But also, it is very unfortunate that as members, we are very selective also in this, putting this research that was done here. Because the professor from UWC and the lady who was from UWC as well, but they were from a different faculty, they had a positive, a different attitude towards the national minimum wage, and a different, they could come up with the negative and then come up with the positive. It was not like, you know, we just don't want this. That's what you want, because that one is a danger. When you don't want it and you are not interested, you are allergic to the word national minimum wage, you're not going to go anywhere and you are not accepting. And the research that you are doing, anybody who has a problem, the research that you have provided, because we know the research that has been done, it has positive and negative, and part of our report. But what we need is someone is going to come with an opposite of what you are saying, something opposite, and say, the research that you are saying today, it is not accurate because of this decision. Then in that way, we are discussing as adults and as honorable members. So I think continue with the discussion. It's going to affect us. Because when you talk about this national minimum wage, we don't want facts when it's convenient, and then when it's not convenient to us, then we don't want facts. All these issues, they have negatives and positives. But at the end of the day, we weigh the balance and both work. With those, we are passing on this issue. And, Another question. Is that a very
I have a question, and it was, it disappeared because of this debate last year. The, before 2003, from 2001, did you find any cause of these job losses, or what are the issues there?
Can you say that the market down in the but they will be coming back. This is putting your notes that down so that in your opening that can be on top in another session. What is left on the agenda of the moment? Page 1. Page 2.
I want to leave a background because last time we sat as a committee and we adopted the report and it was only ESF that rejected the report. We did that with the understanding that the closing date for submission is the 16th of October, which was last week, Friday. He has since transpired that the 16th has been extended. It's no longer the closing date for the report. Then after I have looked at the report, I read some of our recommendations and I wanted the induction of the committee because as I was reading some of our recommendations, I had the sense that we are in a way contradicting ourselves as a committee. Why am I saying that? It's because number one, if you look at bullet number in our recommendation, bullet number one, bullet number four, we are saying the department certainly addressed issues raised by Auditor General. That's number one. There's nothing wrong with that. There's also somewhere where we are saying the department tightened financial controls to prevent mismanagement of funds. That's number two. The department actually resolved the discrepancy with national treasurer and organizations representing the behavior. And then we despite the queries that we are raising there. We are then appealing that the National Treasury should give back payment of the 64 million, which it intended to give in 2016-17. So I wanted to check with the collective here in the committee that if, for instance, we still retain this thing which is saying 64 million should be back paid before the targeted time by Treasury, won't we then be contradicting ourselves? Because there are cautionary measures or there are some controls that we want to be in place first before this money comes back. So I wanted to check with the committee whether would we die then if we take out that bullet, which says the first payment of the 64 million should be in this financial year. And we remain for the other combination.
Shut up, I'm just checking the procedure. Is it correct to process, adopt, then after you go back to it, adopt? Procedure is allowed.
Even though as a person who thinks the session comes from it, it perfectly makes sense that Honorable Lorne is trying to make sense. Due to the latter part of that statement saying that it was already agreed upon, or Treasury already agreed, that it would return the money during 2016. to stay in the dimension there. So I think it would be really unfortunate or unfair to those patients to expect them to give a far payment while they're already at the meet and plan to return the money in the 2016-17 financial year. So I would like to support the proposal made by Honorable Oliver.
On Prophet Jaran Bishop, on Prophet Jaran Bishop's chair, I'm aware that we have adopted it. That is why I was saying we adopted it with the understanding that the 16th Bishop was fighting last week while the closing date. Now that the closing date has been attended, I was appealing to ask that we rescind that particular decision so that the actual decision now has something which is different, which is without that debt, which is saying we are requesting for part payment of the 64 million. Because if, for instance, it would have been a situation where people would be asking questions, they would say you are saying there should be financial control, but you are appealing for this additional funding. What is it in essence that you are saying? So that's why I was saying I need the indulgence of the committee chair.
Okay.
Just one of the DA proposals, so we look here, you know, we're not sure how to get it out because it's not material. The reason I say it's not material is the chairship can't adjust the budget after 2 o'clock today. They're never going to get this document before 2 o'clock today. It's illegal for them to adjust the budget after 2 o'clock today. It's illegal. They're already in lockup. So whatever we do today, it's completely irrelevant. It's not going to be looked at what it will be before the budget is approved. That's why they have the 16th as the date. To relax the date is now obviously because some committees are still not fixed. But we're at the point now where it's so irrelevant that we even waste our breath discussing it. Because it cannot be considered. The first time they can even look at this again is for the next budget. That's the first time they can do it. And we've already got undertakings of surgery that in the next budget they will review it. So, I don't want to belittle our committee, but the word has flown, Honourable Nolliwe, the word has flown about 3 months ago. So, really, whatever we decide, you're not going to make any difference. So, I don't know, my colleagues are aware, so I've got to sometimes check the legalities, use the expert on law, but in terms of my own position and the DA, we really don't mind which way you go, so I think we're going to make absolutely no difference. It's illegal to make a difference. That's what I'm saying. After 2 o'clock today, it's functionally illegal for the International Treasury to do any changes to the budget. And this is about to inform their changes. So there's nothing we can do now. We're going to sort of look at the stupid, whether we leave it in or take it out, because it looks stupid. So whatever you want to do, I don't mind. But I'm not an expert of law. I just know that after 2 o'clock, you can't change the budget.
Yeah. Thank you, Honorable because in this year the court in principle there's nothing wrong. It has been adopted. It's not going to change the fact that it has been adopted. But even if you want to make changes, it's not going to change anything that we are saying. So I would then, because it's more than two members we have passed it, we can do it. It's not going to affect it because it has not been ACC. The report has not been ACC. It's still in our hands, so. Yeah, so the land and then what were you concerned about? Is it a computer or a computer?
Yes, Chair. I was about to say yes, but it was bad. No, it is not being in the report.
Okay. Thank you, members. And thank you for listening to me. And then the way forward on the field. Also the remedy.
Thank you, Chair. Members, remember that in the last meeting, it was mentioned that the unemployment insurance amendment that we have been introduced and set this committee, and I was asked to sort of find some slots for the deliberation on this. Tomorrow, I mean, sorry, this Friday, the 23rd, I'm going to accept what you call briefing, but because of the fact that they need to be able to the program was not yet out to the members on that. So it has moved to the third meeting that will be taking up of October to next week, Friday. But I am going to ask the members to sort of quickly check and report that they are going to hand the idea of how it is supposed to process. After the third meeting is supposed to have.
I think that's the next Wednesday, next Thursday, we must make a decision with the department. So I just hope that whatever we do with our parents, we must ensure that that's going to be
fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please. We are not here. I'm not here. I'm not here.
Then, Chair, we also need to make the public aware that the bill needs to be advertised.
I'm sure we get some other times that you are not coming. But the justification thing, the family that would be so important.
Thank you.
Is this good debate the upcoming bill of the UIF?
Yes. So we just, the just process, the procedure, it's a must do. The department must come and brief us. And it is only after they have briefed us that as the committee, then we can do our way forward as committee. So it's just the process.
I won't be here, and I'll be sending out. My comment is that I happen to agree here, and it's a wonderful book.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I was saying now, then the bill needs to be advertised so that we can, the committee can get some public comments, and at least allow 10 working days. Before we close the submission, then we can start the deliberation. The government now will also decide as to whether we have a public hearing, whether one or two members of the committee might decide if we're going to call some of the submissions that will be sent through public comment. The committee will want to speak on that, and then the deliberations on the bill, and then ultimately we end up having a report on the outcomes of. So we need more slots, a couple of slots to have for public hearing and supervision by the committee. So just the introduction.
Any comments?
Thank
you. Chair, I would propose that because Rolandes are aware of the time frame since the trip, the engagement, why don't you in the next meeting have a proposal so that members can see if they can adopt their rather than have passing the river, I'm sorry, crossing the river when we reach it. I'm not saying necessarily now, but in the next meeting.
Yes, Chair.
I would suggest that we have the public hearing as soon as possible, because I know that the department is very wide up the road. That's the first thing. Secondly, is anyone taking time and trouble to look at the proposed legislation, all it's doing is make it easier for the public to access funding. All things are like that. It creates more time for them to claim and be a claim. It's a very, very positive, there's nothing negative in the legislation at all. I would suggest that the committee actually take the time probably to meet it. Because there's not much to know, nothing in there is going to create problems with the funding system. I imagine it's creating problems with the committee. let's not make too much of a big thing out of it. It's not like we invented the labor relations after the conversion. This, I'm sure the department could tell us today, every single proposed amendment there is making it in the form of each between the twin dismissal, the French, the pregnant, or dead, making it easier for the family to sex or son. And I'm giving raise funding because the UI has got more money. They've got a big purse, which they want to distribute. I don't think we need to spend that much time and money to get it on. Thank you.
So we agree with you. There will be discussed. I hope the number one minister who has not spent a lot of money on it is not implying that the
Member Rolingway has mentioned that I can sort of look for this. I have tried to look into the possibility of using that last week of the term, which was allocated to oversight, to do the healthcare maybe one or two separations on the field. But unfortunately, I'm not sure it will be possible to just complete the entire bill by before the end of the term. We can come back in the next term and do the final edition in January. But for now, I have the use of that week from the 24th of November to the 27th, which is the day. We can do public hearing and maybe call the departments to respond on the submissions that will have been covered by from the time. Probably one or two public hearings in Parliament, the 24th, I have the MC's Tuesday, and I also have the 5th Tuesday for public hearing. So that whole week is dedicated to this bill, so that the public hearing itself comments. Thank you.
Okay, well, I think that the telephone, but we can go deeper and we might come up with something else. Let's come back on it. Any other things we have come? We have come, remember, thank you so much for your presence and and we have come to the end of the meeting.
Thank you. Yeah. Same way. Now, okay. whoever can be, and the entire team of committee. Although I know what some of you have been saying, that the community is really good. I think it's a bad thing, but it's kind of important.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah,
I'm a
yeah.